So this week's shir, who decides what perspectives on divine will? So we gave a similar topic a couple of months ago. As you talked about, that was more in the context of punishment. So I had to figure out, of course, like we talked about last week, sometimes I just throw out topics and figure out what I'm going to talk about later. So I realized that we'd spoke about this a couple of months ago. So really the focus of that shir a couple of months ago was more about punishment. I mean, how can you be punished for something if God knows? And that was kind of the context of Paro, and we gave a couple of different approaches to how Paro could be punished when it says that God hardened his heart. It was really kind of a parsha-focused thing. That was also, it's available on YU Torah for anybody who would like to check. So that's one thing that I didn't want to cover. So when the topic came out, so Bruce reminded me that, oh yeah, you spoke about this because you quoted Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. So that there's also a shiur online from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, which I did go back and review. So he obviously says anything that he could possibly say that we're saying the same, he obviously says a lot better and with a much better accent and with much better English than I possibly would. So that shiur is also available on YU Torah. You can find, I think, Jonathan Sacks has 9 shiurim on YU Torah. So if you want more on this topic, some of it will overlap and some of it won't. So I highly recommend that shiur. I remember listening, it took me from the shift of the, when you know you come off the New Jersey Turnpike in order to go to Pennsylvania. So it took me from getting off there, I remember turning on the shiur then, and it ended as I was pulling into my driveway. So it's about a 50-minute shiur. That would be a good thing to listen to. So this kind of overlaps, but I think I want to take it a little bit further than where he went. Okay, so we have a couple of, when we talk about that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and everything, that's kind of, we're supposed to understand that God knows everything and he's been everywhere and he sees everything and knows the future and knows the past and God is above time, etc. So we have the problem of, okay, if that's the case, right, so we have free will. I'm not sure if we spoke about last week, the idea of Bechira Chavshus. That was that in this year? That was Monday night. That was the Monday night year a little bit. He's talking about the idea of that what it means that man is Betzelem Elokim, as the Rambam says, that means that God, the man has free will. It just says God has free will, that man is given free will. So how could it be that that God knows the future and yet man has free will? It seems to be a pretty big paradox. And it is a pretty big paradox, and we're not going to resolve the paradox. If we could in 45 minutes, then, that'd be great, but I don't think we're going to go there. I think maybe frame the paradox a little bit differently. That might be a little bit more comforting. That's kind of what we're looking for. So the pasuk tells us, basically one of the many psukim in the Torah that seem to indicate this idea, sheets around, is Vayomer LaAvram, that Avram during the Brisban of Esarim, that it was told to Avram, not Avram, Avram, Yadoa Tida Ki Geri Yezaracha Be'aretz Lo Lehem V'Yavdum V'Yanu Asem Arba Me'oshana. You should know that you're going to be in a land that's not yours, and you're going to be enslaved, and you're going to be subjugated for 400 years. However, V'Gamis HaGoye Sher Yavdu Don Anochi V'Acharei Kein Yatsu V'Ruchush Gadol. However, that nation that enslaves you, don't worry, I'm going to judge them. They'll get their just punishment, and you'll go on to great riches, and everything will come out very well. Basically, God is telling Avram the path. He's telegraphing the story of Mitzrayim. And there's many, and this obviously leads to the question of, well, why did the Egyptians get punished, and if it was supposed to happen, and there's many different answers to that, where we're going to touch on it a little bit, that's not really the focus of tonight's shiur. But it's not just, I mean, you could see from the psukim, it's not just that they may have done something a little bit differently than God explained. It says that those people I'm going to judge. I mean, I'm going to do something to them. Right? What they're going to be doing, it seems to be from this puzzle, you could read it as, well, I'm going to see whether they did it right or whether they did it wrong. Okay, but you probably would have to read it as, generally, they did something bad to you. So, I mean, I'm telling you that that's going to happen. So how does that fit with our idea of Bechira Chavshus? That's the question we want to say. And there's a Gemara as well that showed up in the Daf I guess 2 weeks ago at this point. V'amar Rabbi Chanina, ein adam nokif et zbal milmata, el im kain machrizen olav milmala. That a person can't even move his finger in this world unless it was announced beforehand in the upper spheres. As we have a few psukim that indicate that Hashem itzad gaver kono no via adam mayavin darko, that God establishes for man what they're going to do, and adam mayav, does man really understand what in the world they're doing? So that's one thing. And then beyond that, actually one more source on that topic, kind of saying that, well, man doesn't really have full control, is the Sefer HaChinuch. So Sefer HaChinuch here is talking about the mitzvah of Shelo Linkom. It's a very famous Sefer HaChinuch. He talks about the mitzvah of not to take revenge, which is a very difficult mitzvah, not to take revenge. Somebody does something bad to me, how am I not supposed to do something bad back? Or even, there's two prohibitions, not to take revenge, nor is even to bear a grudge. You know, I'm not even supposed to do anything. Everything's supposed to be okay. So how does that work? How does that make any sense? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, and all the Sefer HaChinuch does, he takes all the mitzvahs, explains the basic parameters of it, and then explains what the possible reasoning would be behind it. And he explains, Misharshei HaMitzvah, pretty much every mitzvah has this line, Misharshei HaMitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah is, Sheyada HaAdam V'yitin Alibo Ki Kol Asher Yikru Mitovad Ra, that it should be ingrained within a person, in his heart, that anything that happens to him, whether good or whether bad, Hu Seva Shetavu Alav Me'is Hashem Baruch Hu. Right, the reason it's coming on him is from God. Right, that God is the one who's doing it. It looks like Shmerel is doing it. Right, miyat ha'adam, miyat ish achiv, lo yedavar bilti, ratzon Hashem baruch hu. And that which the other person is doing to you, he's not doing anything other than what the ratzon Hashem is, what God wants. Al kein kashe yitzaru o yachivu ha'adam yada b'nafsho. So therefore, if a person is in pain, or comes upon a person, yada b'nafsho ki avonosav garmu, that if anything bad happens to a person, you should say, well, it's not Shmerel that's doing it, it's God doing it, right? And if God's doing it, so then it's because I must be being punished for something. V'ashem yisparach gazer alav b'kach. And he's the one who decided what's going to happen. V'lo yashis machshav osav linkom imenu ki hu eino sevas rasal. So therefore, I won't even have a hobby, and why would I punish... Why would I punish the? That's like, it's like killing the messenger, or why would I kill a messenger, right? People do that, but why would I kill the messenger? It's really God is doing this for me, for him, to me. Because it's really that avera that's causing it. And then continues on. The last paragraph, last sentence is interesting. V'od nimsa b'mitzvah to'eles rav. We see a great purpose to this mitzvah. L'hashbis riv, right? It will put damages to rest. U'lahavir hamishtamos milev v'nei adam. And we will get rid of anger, get rid of problems from the heart of man. U'v'yosu shalom b'in anashim yasa Hashem shalom lahem. Right? And by doing so, this is going to cause peace among people. Because nobody's doing it. Anything that happens to you is not because... it's not personal, right? Literally, it's not personal from the other person. Rather, some kind of message coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it doesn't give the messenger the right to do it necessarily. But the perspective of the person getting hit, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is the perspective of the person getting punished, or the perspective of the person having anything happen to that person should be, that guy, it's not really him. There's a reason why this happened to me besides the fact that that person did it to me. And while that's a challenging thing to think in mind, that's the way the Sefer HaChinuch, again, that's the way the Sefer HaChinuch frames the mitzvah of not to take revenge. Right? This doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have to worry that we're not supposed to persecute criminals. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're not supposed to... Right? Whatever happens to him, but it's not as a personal revenge. That's the point that the Sefer HaChinuch is taking. There's plenty of punishments that the Torah doles out and tells man to dole out on behalf of the Torah. Right? That's not nekama, though. That's because we're punishing a person or because of the sin that he did, objectively, not subjectively that he did it to me. Yes?
So if something good happened to us, are we supposed to then assume that we deserve that? We did something good to deserve that?
Uh-huh. That's interesting. We definitely have a concept of hakara satov in the Torah. We have a concept of giving thanks to the person who gave it to you. So that's the question. Is that thanks as that he's the ultimate doer? Not necessarily. It could be that we're giving him thanks for being the messenger. So why don't we hurt a person for being the messenger? If we can. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the ramifications of that would be. I mean, there's a midah of hakara satov, right? It's a characteristic of, I'm supposed to give thanks. Now, what does that mean? The essence, you know, in the essence of what the act is that was done to me. That's a question. I mean, from his perspective, he's supposed to be doing good for other people. He's not supposed to be doing bad for other people. I mean, this doesn't abdicate the sinner. It doesn't abdicate the person doing damage. Just like it doesn't remove reward from the person who's doing the good deed. It's just the perspective that you personally have in order to keep one from doing it. How could the Torah possibly say not take revenge? It means that because it's not up to you to take revenge. The Torah will take care of that person. She will take care of that person. You're supposed to focus on why did this happen to me? Okay, but why it happened to me is really next week's topic. Right? And, so we'll get into that a little bit more next week. So these three sources all seem to indicate in a way, a lack of free will, right? And a lack of that things are being run by Hashem, and we're not necessarily, that's it. That's the story. We're not necessarily in charge.
You know, when you said that God's outside of time, which is also like what I believe, it's almost like we're reliving what's already happened, and God, like God's telling Abraham, this is what's going to happen because he's seeing it happen. We may be able to have free will to do it, but he's already seen it happen.
Right.
And so he's telling him, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
So
right.
Why does he keep sending W's to make us do better? Because he obviously is hoping that we'll change our ways, and that what he's foreseen will change.
Right, so that's the part we're going to get a headache from. but yeah, let's see how it's framed. Let's see how it's developed, and then we'll. I'm not sure how we're going to that. At the end of the day, I'm not sure how you solve that problem. I don't think anyone's really sure how you solve the problem, all the Rishonim admit that, as we said in the Haftorah yesterday, lo machshavos sai machshavos seichem. That God is speaking. My thoughts aren't your thoughts, but. I mean, it's a very, in a way, it's a very demeaning type of thing. That, yeah, I work through all this trouble, but really it's all planned. It's all determined what's going to happen. So that's that thing. Rabbi Sachs on this tape has a story that he was on some kind of talk show with four atheists. I think that was it. That he bought, or four agnostics, or four atheists or something. So one of, he said, of course, three of the four were Jewish. he said, Anachnu ma'aminim v'nei ma'aminim, like we're believers, the son of believers, but we also do pretty well in the atheist category also. And one of them was a determinist, meaning that he believed that everything was just decided, not that anyone decided it, it's just that
it's fate.
Biologically, that's everyone's programmed to do exactly what they're going to do. So like he said, it's like, so you had no choice whether to be on this talk show, like you had no choice whether to come here today. It's like, absolutely not. It's all predetermined. Okay. Well, so we'll get into the proof against that. We'll get to the Rambam's proof against that shortly. Okay. So we have a pasuk in Devar. The flip side is right. The main pasuk that says that man has free will, besides the we're going to make man in our image, is how, because you got to read a little bit into that, but the pasuk tells us, Haidosi Bachem Hayom es Hashemayim v'Esaretz, right? With testimony given in the heavens and the earth, Hachayim v'Hamavis Nasati Lefanecha, Bracha Kala, I've given you life and I've given you death, to this point to man, right? Habracha v'Haklala, Ubacharta v'Chayim, Lamantichia Atav v'Zarecha, and you should choose life, Lamantichia Atav v'Zarecha. What does it mean by life? It means the Torah, it means living a life of, you know, a spiritual life. Giving you the opportunity to choose it. So, of course, that what does that mean? That indicates pasuk in the Torah. That's telling us that we choose, that we do have free choice, that it's not just predetermined, that we do have something that we're supposed to be choosing in order to do to the positive. So if we want to go take this to the extreme, meaning not just this philosophical problem of, well, is it predetermined or is it not predetermined? Does God know exactly what's going to be? And if so, do I actually have free will if God knows exactly what's going to be? So the Or HaChaim says that, you're right, it doesn't make sense. It must be that God doesn't really know. We'll see it inside. But this is in the middle of the story of of Yosef and his brothers, right? The big fight between Yosef and his brothers, and Yosef shows up, and the brothers are saying, well, what are we going to do to him, right? And they say to him, we're going to, what does the pasuk say? We'll see what's going to be with those dreams, right? What does it mean, we're going to see what's going to be? Just kill him. And you're like, so in a way, we usually read it as like slang, like, oh yeah, we'll see what's going to be with them. But the Or HaChaim takes that literally, says, no, the brothers were like confused, like, what's going to be with those dreams? So we want to put him in a dangerous situation where God could kind of decide whether to kill him or not. So that's another question. Why did the brothers not just kill themselves? Right? If they wanted to end the dream, they wanted to end the possibility of Yosef ruling over them, so just kill him. Why did they listen to Reuven and put him in, right? But they didn't want to dirty their hands. They thought they were right, right? The brothers, if you read that story, the brothers thought that Yosef is bad news for us. We should kill him. Like, they thought that we should. So why throw him in a pit? Just kill him yourself. So the Or HaChaim says here, this action, by Tzilu Miyadam, Reuven saved them. That's what that passage is going on. This action was applauded by the Torah as man is a free creature possessing freedom of choice, and able to kill people who are not guilty or have not been convicted, as distinct from wild beasts, which do not kill humans unless the latter are guilty of death in the eyes of God. Meaning he's saying that man does have free will. Man can go above whatever is predetermined by God. If man wants to kill somebody, so God, in a way, has no control over that. It's pretty wild. That's the Or HaChaim saying. And he continues on and says, the words of Yatzilenu Miyadam mean that he saved them from the evil consequence of carrying out their freedom of choice to kill. By doing what he did, Reuven nullified the brother's statement, we shall see what happens to his dreams. And instead of letting the brothers kill him, right, that wouldn't have proven anything. Why would that have proven anything? Because the brothers could change the plans of God, right? The plan of God may have been that Yosef is going to be the ruler, and things are going to come from Yosef, etc. Right? The brothers were going to change that plan. The brothers were going to kill him, and the brothers had free will to do so, says the Or HaChaim, and they'd have the ability to do so. Right? God doesn't necessarily protect man all the time from other man's free will. Right? So this really goes against like a lot of what we thought when we were younger. Right? The Or HaChaim is saying that there's a limit to the deterministic nature of God. Man has the ability to override it under certain circumstances. Perhaps not globally, but, God will. Right, so you think about it, like Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was going to be the father of the Jewish people. Maybe it wouldn't have been Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu made the choice, the Or HaChaim would tell you, this logic would tell you. Avram Avinu made the choice. If Avram Avinu would not have made the choice, right, what would have happened to the Jewish people? All right, so God would have figured out another way that it would happen to the Jewish people. But it didn't have to be Avram. It didn't have to be anybody individual. It could have been anybody. Right, and this might even be more than what the Or HaChaim is saying, but I would think it's feel a little bit better. I mean, the fate of the world, global things that God has control over, but individually, right, within individuals, it's possible that free will could override the power of God. That is the Or HaChaim, in a way, extreme, limited divine providence shita. Right? That's number one. But the main thing we'd like to focus on is the Rambam. As we head into the Rambam, it's really an entire chapter of the Rambam. Entire chapter from basically from here to here is discussing this idea. So I did the best I could to limit it. I know it's a bit lengthy. We'll pick out the pieces here and there. But that's really, you got to read chapter 5 of Hilchos Tshuva according to the Rambam. Really chapter 5 and chapter 6. Chapter 6 is kind of where he talks about it a little bit more practically. That's where he discusses, well, how could the Paro have been punished, and how could other punishments have happened? That's chapter 6. But chapter 5 is the basic question of free will. And the question we'll just think about it in the back of your head, and then we'll talk about it a little bit later, is, why does the Rambam put this in the laws of tshuva? Right? Wouldn't it be make more sense? The Rambam opens up his Yad Chazak with Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, with the principles of the Torah. So why isn't this a principle of the Torah? Right? He's putting in the laws of tshuva. So keep that in mind. Don't give an answer yet, and we'll learn a little bit, and then the answer should be clear to that question. So the first thing the Rambam says is Rishus kol adam nesuna lo imratzel lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'lios tzadik harishus biyado. That Rishus is given to a person that if he wants to be good, he wants to be a tzadik, he's given permission. V'imratzel lahatos atzmo l'derech rav v'lios rasha harishus biyado. If he wants to go bad and he wants to be a rasha, also that's in the Torah. As it says in the Torah, hina adam hayak echem imenu l'das tovarach lomer hin min zesh l'adam hayak. That part I didn't put in. But right, that's the Rambam opens up. Just realize there's choice, and then he brings a couple of proofs to the idea that man has free choice. Then halacha base, he continues. Al yavur makshava secha davar zesh omrim tifshei umos ha'olam. He says, don't allow it to enter your brain that which the stupid people that of the other nations. Verov golmei b'nei Yisrael, also many Jews. Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer ala adam mitchilas priyasal yos tzadik o rasha. That a person, that it's established on man that from the beginning of his creation, whether he's going to be righteous or whether he's going to be evil. It's not true. El kol adam royal yos tzadik k'moshe rabbeinu o rasha ki yiravam. And everybody has the right to be a tzadik like Moshe or evil like Yiravam. Well, people in the Navi should know who Yiravam is, right? The first of the kings of the Malcha Yisrael. O Chacham, O Seichel, O Rachman, O Achzari, whether he's going to be smart or not, or whether he's going to be merciful, or whether he's going to be cruel, or all these different things, all of that a person has control over. As opposed to what the other people say, that no, it's already predetermined whether a person is going to be righteous or whether he's going to be evil. Right? When he talks about, I think I've shared this story a few times, but when I began my master's, I'm hopefully finishing my master's soon, but when I began my master's about 5-6 years ago in counseling, so I went to, I told Rav Schechter, my Rebbe at the time, that, and still my Rebbe, I told him, you know, this is what I'm thinking about doing, what do you think about it? He said, oh, I think it's a good idea for you to get a master's in counseling. He says, you should know that all of counseling and psychology is based on api courses, based on heresy. Oh, that's interesting. So yeah, they all believe that everything is predetermined and man doesn't have free will. Man doesn't have bechira chashis. I said, oh, okay. I said, so maybe it's not a good idea for me to go. I said, no, it's a good idea. Go learn. So what he meant was, is that as one learns through psychology, that's kind of what psychology is that, oh, this is what, these are the issues that man has to deal with. He's either has this type of personality type, or he had this type of upbringing. So the next step is the question. So the next step is, and therefore what? So and therefore he has no choice, or therefore he has to work hard in order to make himself normal.
Yeah, there's always people that break the mold.
Right. So we believe more towards the Bechira Chafshe saying it. We believe more towards the, yes, everybody has a challenge, and we have to figure out how to overcome the challenge. In the beginning of, I remember hearing this system, in the beginning of Hilchos Deos of the Rambam, right? So the Rambam is Hilchos Deos, so this is where he talks about the golden mean, right? The Shvil Hazav, that everybody should be towards the middle. He says, starts off by saying, Deos har b'yesh l'chol echad b'echad. There's many different types of Deos or Midos or types, personalities of people. V'zum b'shuna, v'zum b'rochak. Everybody, everything is very different. This person's wise and this person's not. And this person gets angry and this person doesn't get angry. And he goes through all the different types of personality types that people could possibly have. So I once heard in the name of Rav Krakowski, who wrote a sefer on the Rambam, I forget how he's related to Rav Soloveitchik, but he said, "Deos har b'yesh l'chol adam." Not that there are people that have different deos, but that it's automatic. There are different personality types for each person, and some are extreme this way, and some are extreme that way. Meaning, everybody has an issue, right? It's not that most people are normal, and some people have issues that they have to work out. No, everybody has issues that they have to work out, and it's our job to work them out. That's the job that we have over the course of our lifetimes. Okay, so that's what the Rambam said in Halacha Beis. Okay, and then in Halacha Gimel, yes.
It strikes me that it's odd that you would say that you have the choice to be a chacham. The others, I understand, be cruel or be kind. But what choice do people have to be wise?
Yeah, right. That's an IQ issue, right? It's not a.
Maybe it means to be learned. Spend time learning. Right.
Right. I believe. I remember something I was reading today. I think points out that it's not exactly what the Gemara said. there's a Gemara that the Rambam's basing himself on, and the Gemara is a little bit different, I think, to indicate the difference that we're mentioning here. That the Rambam switches it a little. I'm not sure what it is. I could try to go back and find the source. Rambam is trying to imply that man has a choice to learn, not necessarily that he has a choice to be smart, but he has a choice to learn, which hopefully leads to more intelligence as well. Okay, so then what the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel is really the main thing to keep in mind here, and this is what Bruce, I think, was remembering when he told me to go back to that article where he writes of Iker Ze Iker Gadol Hu Amud Hator VaMitzvah, and this Iker, this idea, is the big idea, Vu Amud HaTorah Mitzvah, and it is the pillar that all of Torah Mitzvah stands on. Shneimar Re'ina Sati Lefnei HaYom Esachayim Esatov Esamav Esvies Hara, as it says, realize that I've given to you all of these choices. V'chasuv Re'ah, I'm not sure what I put in here. Sati Lechem HaYom Kolomer Shavar Shus Biya'a, Sati Lechem Esachayim, that permission is in your hands. And whatever a person wants to do, they can do, whether for good or whether for bad. So some point out, it's a very Saxon, that they point out that I saw today another person, Rav Stepansky, someone from Brooklyn has an article where he, I only know that because under his title it just says Brooklyn, New York. That's cool. I'm a rabbi and I live in Brooklyn. That's all you need to know. But this is the, in a way, the 14th animamim. That we have 13 animamims and there's a 14th animamim. And Rabbi Sachs and his Shir point this out, and then Rev Stepansky in the beginning of his essay says the same exact thing. That fits very well with many other things of the Rambam, and that the Rambam has 14 books of the Yad HaZaka, and the Rambam has 14 Shirashim of mitzvos, there's 14 different types of mitzvos. He also has 14 categories of mitzvos that he uses in the Guide to the Perplexed of the Mor Nevuchim. So it only makes sense that the Rambam shouldn't have 13 animamims, but you should have 14 animamims. So what is the 14th animamim? Not just that we believe all the things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that man has free will. So why do we call it 13 animams, not 14 animams? Because the 13 animams are things that we have to believe about God, and the 14th animam is what man has to believe about themselves. That all of it doesn't fit. I mean, we don't have any relationship with God unless we have that 14th idea, the idea of, well, and man has the ability to choose it. That man has free will, and the man can choose. The man can choose to be good. He's not. He might be pre-programmed with certain mitzvos, but he's not pre-programmed with certain actions. And then the Rambam continues: Lefichach danin osu lefi maisav im asa tova mativin lo im asa ra marian lo. Therefore, we judge man according to what he does. If he did good, then we give him good things. If he did bad, then we give him bad things. Hu shahanavi omer miyarchem haisa zos lachem, as the prophet tells us. Right, the miyarchem haisa, it's in your hands to do this. Gam hema bachu bedarcheichem, and you shall choose your ways of inyan ze amar shlomus v'meach b'chor b'lo, and a couple other proofs to this idea. That you have the power to do anything wrong. So this should not be underestimated. This is the key, right? This is the basis, one of the principles of our religion. The Rambam says, "Iker ze iker gadol hu hu amud Torah v'hamitzos." It's the basis of all Torah. If man doesn't have free will, we might as well go home, right? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. We don't have any control over it anyways. So now in Halacha Hey is where the Rambam picks up on the idea of the great paradox. Where the Rambam says, so Shema Tomar, so lest us say, V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyiyah V'Kodim Sheyiyah. But I, lest you say that God knows all of what's going to be, and before it is, He knows that this one's going to be a tzaddik, this is going to be a rasha. Or He doesn't know. Shema Tomar, V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or doesn't he know that? Im yadashu yet tzaddik, iyev shashalo yet tzaddik. And if he knows that he's going to be a tzaddik, it's impossible for him not to be. Bim tomer shiyadashi yet tzaddik, efshar shiyeh rasha. And if he says that, well, I know he's going to be a tzaddik, and it's possible that he could really be a rasha. Harel yada hadavar aburiyev. So then he doesn't really know, right? Dasha tshuva she'eluzu arucha mi'eretz mida v'rachba money hayam. Realize that the answer to this question is longer than the lands and wider than the seas. V'kama ikarim gedolim v'haravim ram tuluyim ba. And how many great, important principles and mountains are hanging on this question. Avot tzarech ata leid, what you should know, ulahavin bedavar zeshani omer, and to understand this, which I'm going to say, kfar biarnu beperek sheni mehilchas yisodei haTorah, shehakadosh baruch hu, I already established a little bit earlier, I mentioned earlier, shehakadosh baruch hu eina yodea mideya shehi chutz mimenu kivnei adam, shehem v'daitem shnayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know, mideya shehi chutz mimenu, that's outside of us, outside of him, sorry, kivnei adam shehem v'daitem shnayim. Meaning, we talked about also Monday night, that from man's perspective, man is man, and God is God. So if there's two principles, right, if there's two people, if man is going to do something and God is, knows about it, right, it's two principles knowing about one thing. So Rambam is saying, don't think about it like that. That's from our perspective. From our perspective, we want to do something, and God is outside of us knowing that we're going to do it. Right, that's idea number one. Ella, hu yis'al shemo v'daito echad. Rather, it's all one. Of course, man, the knowledge of man cannot comprehend this. Alboriyav on this creator. And just as it can't be, there's no power of a person to understand the truth of the creator. That nobody will see me and live. Right? That's what Hashem said to Moshe. When Moshe was asking after the Chet HaEgel, let us understand exactly what's going on here. By the way, why, there's a question I saw recently that I have to develop a little bit more. Why is it that when Moshe asks for forgiveness about the Chet HaEgel, right, and all of a sudden the conversation switches to being a discussion about the Chiyur Chavshus, about free will? Like, how'd that happen? Like, why did that have to be? So that's for another time. So that man can't perceive this, right? Who shall Navi Omer Kilo Machshavose Machshavose Chem? It is said in the Haftorah yesterday and Shabbat Sarbat Thomas, as the Navi said, our thoughts are my thoughts, for lo darcheichem terachai, our ways aren't our ways. The kivet shekain who ain beno koach leida heyach yada kadosh baruch hu kol abruim v'maisim, and we can't. The chevat shekain who ainu banu koach, right? We don't have the ability to know how God knows what's going to be. Aval nada below suffik shemaisa adam biyada adam ainu kadosh baruch hu moshko velo gozar alav lasos kach. But just recognize that whatever you do really does have free will. Great. Right? Where did the Rambam leave us there? And then he continues and says, also very important, it's not just because, like, this is part of our emuna. And the Rambam says, it's not just part of our, like, oh, we have to believe that God knows exactly what's going to be, right? I'm not just saying this because this is part of, like, the mitzvahs that we have to believe in. El brios beruos medivri hachachma. But it's obvious from wisdom, from regular wisdom. With neze nemar b'nevuah shedanin esa adam al maisav kfi maisav im tov im ra v'zehu ha'ikr shekol divri ha'nevuah tuliyah ba. And therefore, it's in the Nevi'im that we're going to be judged on what we do according to what our actions are, whether they're good or whether they're bad. V'zehu ha'ikr shekol divri ha'nevuah tuliyah ba. This is the main thing that all the nevuah is process. So the Rambam is like going back and forth here. And in the first glance is, he's not leaving us with anything. He's saying, well, you have to believe this and you have to believe that. And the first glance at the Rambam is, and we're not going to be able to bridge the two, but realize that that's what our religion believes in. And B, logically, that has to make sense. And logically can mean that it doesn't make sense to you as well. Yes?
Why are the two concepts mutually exclusive? I mean, I could say, you know, Hashem could know what's going to happen. That doesn't mean that he's pulling your strings, that he's, you know, that he's making you make that choice.
Right.
He just, that's still your choice. You still have free will. Just because he knows what you're going to do, doesn't mean that he's manipulating you to do it. So concepts can coexist.
Right. So I want to make that sound less determined. You sound like a determinist now.
No,
that is determined.
Because you could still, you still have the power to make your choice.
He just knows what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's not predetermined.
Well, it's predetermined what your choice is going to be. It's like that. Am I going to go left or am I going to go right? Right. So this is saying so. Well, God thinks I'm going to go right, so I'm going to go left. But maybe God knew that.
I don't think the choice is predetermined. I think the outcome. The outcome. In other words, nothing happens unless Hashem allows it to happen. He's not causing it to happen. He's not. You know. In other words, your actions have free will, but the result of those actions is in God's hand.
Or maybe it's the knowledge of those actions.
Right. So there is an idea that I consciously decided not to go for tonight, but you could read about Rabbi Aaron. David Aaron has in one of his books that I found. I think we spoke about this before here as well. Is that God has a determined outcome, but where you are on the road to that outcome is up to you. You know, you going to prove God's point. God wants to prove the power of life, the importance of life. So you could either demonstrate that by saving a person's life, or you could demonstrate that by killing a person, and everybody will then realize how important that person was. Right? So where you are in terms of proving God's outcome depends on your free will.
And you still may be able to change the outcome. I mean, it's still possible for what to feel. It's a different things you can actually change. You can change your mind.
Okay. Right. So, but if God knows all of history, so how does that work then?
So He knows it. Doesn't mean that you're a puppet on a string. We have no free will.
Okay. So let me just bring it. So the Rambam kind of says that. But the Rambam wants to, not the Rambam here. The Rambam here hints to it, but the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim says it a little bit more clearly. With a little bit better language. Hey, it's in English. No. You can take a look here. He writes, I'm sorry it doesn't come out that great. I still have, you know, it doesn't go down all the way. But he writes, there's a great difference between the knowledge. I mean, he's bothered with this issue. Right? He's bothered with this issue of, right, God is a separate being, so then how do I get free will? I mean, how do we? So he puts words to it that make it seem a little bit better. It says, there's a great difference between the knowledge which the producer of things possesses concerning it and the knowledge which other persons possess concerning the same thing. And he really goes on to explain that over the rest of the paragraph. So essentially what he's saying is that the difference is that the creator of a person or creator of an object, right? If you want to, right, this BlackBerry, right? So the I mean, I've been using it for a while, right? So I can predict what it's going to do. In that, you know, if I push on this button, so my list of addresses come up. And if I push on this button, so then I can see my emails. Right? I predict, right? If I push on this button, that's what's going to be. Later on, I'm taking a look at it from that perspective. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not predicting what's going on. The truth is, BlackBerry is not a good example. If I look at Shelly, and I decide that Shelly's probably going to wake up around 6 in the morning tomorrow, right, and go to work and come back, right? So I'm making that prediction about Shelly. So if I would, like, broadcast, let's say I would send out an email to the entire shul. You just know about Shelly tomorrow. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that she's going to wake up at 6, right? So Shelly's going to be like, my rabbi is controlling me. Like, well, what's going on? Why is he doing that? I'm no longer in control of my act. I'm in control, but the rabbi is deciding, the rabbi is predicting, rabbi, get out of my life. What are you doing? Reporting and predicting what my life is going to be. However, it's a different perspective when it's the creator that's doing it. When the creator, when God is the creator, has programmed what's going to be, right? He's put in the code that's going to decide about how life is going to work out and can see how life is going to work out, so then it's no longer a disempowering thing. God is no longer predicting, right? One could read this as, oh, God predicts the entire history of the world. God's not predicting the history of the world. God is not predicting to Avram, I think what's going to be is you're going to go to Mitzrayim, whatever. God is deciding. So if God is deciding, are you deciding? No. We're making the decision on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So on one hand, that could sound a little bit similar. On the other hand, that's very empowering. I now have the control. I am now empowered with bringing the goodness and the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Now, does that mean that I don't have free will anymore? Well, Rambam seems to say that you're not. That you're kind of a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you do have free will. You are doing that. You are deciding to do whatever you want to do. You're deciding it on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The thing that we hinted to is a little bit further than that. That you're actually deciding whether to be on God's good side or whether to be on God's bad side, but the ultimate outcome is coming out regardless.
But
yes.
You're also assuming that time is linear, as opposed to something that's spherical, something that's happening, as Kelly alluded to earlier on, in the past, present, and future, is all happening at the same time, arguably. And whatever is happening, there's always the possibility that it's going to happen differently.
Right. So yes.
Because time is not linear. It's not.
Right, right. God is above time. Right. From our perspective, God is above time, and it's really not. It's really all happening at once, or not even happening at once. It's happening above once. It's happening. It's happening all. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for a metaphor. We can't figure out what it's saying.
It's also like a movie. Like the characters in a movie do their thing, and you're watching it. So if you're telling somebody again, oh, I saw this movie. This is what's going to happen, and now this is going to happen, and now this is going to happen. So in a way, God knows what's going to happen because he knows. So he's telling Abraham, maybe it's already happened because he sees the past, present, and future as alike. So he's saying, yeah, well, this is the way it's going to happen, Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Right, but then the problem is, how does the actor's following the script. How do we get out of feeling that we're not following the script?
Sometimes.
Because it's already happened. In God's world, he's up here. Past, present, and future is not a continuum. So
right.
He's seen, here's Abraham, but here this has already happened. And so he can go back
and
tell
Abraham. So then
from
our perspective, it's already determined what's going to be.
Because
it's like a loop.
I'm trying to get out of that.
Yeah.
This is what the Rambam is talking about. This discussion of the Rambam means that you're not going to be able to understand. You're not really going to be able to put words to it. I want to bring it down a little bit to say that it's not that God is removed from us and therefore observing what's going to be or giving us a script for what's going to be, depending on where you want to hold on that spectrum. But rather, God has created us in motions with our own free will and our own sensitivities and our own emotions. Everything is our own, right? We're carrying it out on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gives us more which is more empowering than the script version, than the movie version.
Not on behalf of, but in concert with Hashem.
Right. We're in part. We're the representatives of God, and we're deciding to carry out that free will. But what's the proof that things are not determined? So the Rambam writes. This Rabbi Sachs pointed out. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph that how do we know that man really does have it must be that man has free will and that man is operating based on his free will? That what the Rambam says. What is tshuva gemura? What is full tshuva? So if everything was determined, so if I would, everything's redetermined, you're put in a certain situation, right? So you are going to react the same way to that situation every time, right? There's a physics term for this, right? If you create the same scenario, so if everything is determined, right? If it's an inanimate object, if it's a matter, right? It's going to react the same way, right? Under all of those circumstances. So what is the ultimate proof that man does have free will? So the Rambam says, what is tshuva? What is the ultimate tshuva? So the Rambam says here, Ezu hi tshuva gemura, ze sheba liyadu davar she'avar bo, ve'efsher biyadu lasos, right? He says that if something comes into his hand, ze sheba liyadu davar she'avar bo, that's something that you've previously violated, ve'efsher biyadu lasoso, and you have the ability to do it again, u'peirish v'lo asa, and you separate it and you don't do it, mifnei ha'tshuva. because of the tshuva that you did, because of the repentance that you did. Right? I did something in the past. Right? I did tshuva. I say I'm not going to do it again. And now the same circumstance has created itself. The same circumstance appears. So if everything was predetermined, so I would do the exact same thing as I did last time. But if I don't do it this time, or the flip side would be true as well, if I do it this time, something that before I didn't do, right? Now I do it under the same circumstances, so that means that I have caused the change. It means that I have bechir chavshah. It means that I have decided to be better this time. Right? For example, ketzad harishabal yishabeveira, right? You have an affair. Achar zmanis yachidima, and then you end up being together with her again. V'omi ba'avaso ba ubekoach gufu v'medina she'avar ba uperish v'lo avar zehu ba b'tshuva gemur. And with your strength, you decide I'm going to separate. Right? That is tshuva gemur. Right? Under the same circumstances, to choose another way to go. Right? That's the demonstration of free will. And we have, so I want just to end something also a little bit in Yoni Diyoma, is that the Rambam in that second halacha that we quoted a few psukim from Icha of all places about free will. I put them in. If you take a look here, this is from the book from Salvechik on Tisha B'Av. So he writes that it's interesting to note, this is our Rambam, that he quotes verses from the third chapter of Eicha as a source of the principle of free will, as a fundamental principle of Yadus, right? This is fundamental principle. Neither evil nor good comes out of the mouth of the Most High. Right. Why then does a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn back to the Lord. Those are three psukim that appear in the third parak of Eicha. By the way, what's unique about the third parak of Eicha as opposed to three of the other five parakim? There's a lot of short psukim, right? Every other the first, second, and fourth paragraph of Eicha all begin with the word Eicha. Right, which is kind of last week's discussion. We said, Eicha, how could it be? Like, what happened? How could that have been? Right? Do you have the right to say, how could it have happened? Right? That was last week's discussion. But they all begin with the word Eicha. And the third chapter is not. Third chapter is each pasuk, each letter gets three psukim each, and they're all very short. So this is one of those threesomes. Right? Neither evil nor good will come out of God. Why then do we complain? Let us search our ways. So he explains, this passage of the Rambam is difficult, because the words mipi elyon l'seitzei haros v'atov are not meant to be a statement, rather as a question. Right? If you look in the psukim, it seems like that would be a question. The Rambam, however, interprets them not as a question, but as an affirmative statement. And the point of the concept of free will is that man is responsible. The same responsibility man had before he sinned, he had now after his sin, and his responsibility to do tshuva. Both the idea of free will and the idea of tshuva are mentioned in this chapter. This is the answer to the question of Eicha. Right? In all circumstances, Tzidduk HaDin comes first, and the question of Eicha does not come up at all. Right? We never ask why, we only accept. Right? That was last week's year. On Tisha B'Av, however, we ask Eicha twice, once in the biblical book and once in the kinos. But then we give the answer, and the answer is Tzidduk HaDin. The answer should always be Tzidduk HaDin. Suppress your questions because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and gracious in all his works. This explains why the third. I left out actually a key part. This explains why the third chapter of Eicha has a different sentence structure than the other chapters of the book. Let me find that. It's a good thing I brought it here. Because the Rambam, he goes on to say that it's not just about acceptance, rather it's about accepting responsibility. For example, the Gemara, behold, I come to you in the thickest of the. Right, the verses in the third chapter of the book of Eicha are shorter because of their content. Everyone understands the question of Eicha. That is easy. But understanding the answer that we have free will and therefore our sins are responsible for our situation is much more difficult. He's saying, what is it with these short psukim? Short psukim are, why does this happen to us? Because we did it. It's our responsibility. In a way, that itself is a nechama. That itself is a consolation. That yes, it's true that bad things have happened to us, right? But let's understand, let's try to figure out why bad things have happened to us. And therefore, it requires not just reading, but concentration, deep, profound understanding, and shorter verses allow for greater understanding. Right? Very short, very quick, verse, things that we take responsibility for ourselves. So what we'd like to talk about next week is that, yes, it's true, we have to take responsibility, but to what extent? Right? Next week's topic is blaming the victim. Right? If something bad happens to us, how much of that responsibility lays with us? And that will be, Mr. Hashem, next week we'll discuss that further. Okay?
Thank you.